Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, what's good, everybody? It's Lean Keys Real Talk here with another episode. I won't say back with another episode because we always out here. Anyways, got the host of the show. Lee, what's going on, bro?
Yo, what it do? What it do, man? Oh, man, it's all good, man. Just ready to get to it.
All right. I know we hit UFC. I think did we talk about UFC 297? We talked about it, right?
Yeah, we talked about it.
I think we talked about it, and nothing has happened since then because we had an off week, and then we will say this. So the next, I want to say it's the next 11. Yeah, I think it's 11. The next 11 weekends, the next 11 Saturdays in a row, we have a UFC. We have fights every Saturday for the next 11 weeks. So I think they said it's this Saturday is the first one. So this week through, I want to say April 18th, there is UFC every Saturday for that stretch.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so we're going on a run. We had a month off. We come back for one, and we take one off. Oh, no, they came back for two, and we take one off, and now we're going to go for 11 straight. So there's going to be a lot of fights to talk about. There's going to be a lot of fights getting announced, and, you know, it's also – we got Volkanovski fighting in like 2.5 weeks, so we're gonna have that one. And I'll say this, just to put it out there, Ilya Topuria, yo, he's talking a lot of trash. He's gonna need to have a perfect performance. Like, he's talked so much to where it's like, I think he forgets. You know what I mean? I think he might have forgot that he's fighting Volkanovski. I think he doesn't really realize that, and he's talked enough to where he pretty much is, he kind of needs to have a great performance, you know, and he's fighting an uphill battle, so he's fighting an uphill battle, so we'll see how we go, we'll see how it goes for him, but anyways, yeah, something came out the past couple weeks, and we hadn't been able to get to it. I think it came out like last week. It was last week came out. And we haven't been able to get to it. And this is one that I will say, I was wrong on this, you know. I was wrong on this. I want to say we were both wrong on this. Not on whether this would happen, but just on the way that this whole, the way this past year has played out, you know, with Francis Ngannou, man. I was wrong, you know. I was wrong on what I thought would happen, you know, when he didn't, you know, $9 million or whatever it was to fight John Jones, and, you know, he left the UFC and went to go be a free agent. I was like, this dude's ruined his career and, you know, all this. And I was wrong. I mean, clearly I was wrong. And he went to boxing. He got, you know, a huge fight with Tyson Fury, probably made a ton of money. And now he just got another huge fight with Anthony Joshua. He's going to make a ton of money again. And that fight's going down in March. Was it like
March 8th.
I almost said March 18th. Saudi Arabia is cooking, man. They're grabbing all the biggest fights that could be made. It's really crazy. I also just heard that I know the UFC has a date in for Saudi Arabia, which I'm pretty sure is also in March. It might even be the following week. And I had heard rumors that like they wanted to get Islam for that card, but now I'm hearing that they moved the date, and Islam probably won't fight on that card. But I'm hearing Umar Nurmagomedov, who the bantamweight, Habib's cousin, I guess nobody wanted to accept a fight with him. He's been trying to get a fight. And now I'm hearing that, ironically, at the same time, the UFC just signed, I think, like a 17-0 undefeated bantamweight. And then I saw right after that that Umar tweet that he finally got a fight. So I don't know if that's the guy he's fighting, or if Corey Sandhagen accepted a fight with him, which that's the fight that I want to see personally in the bantamweight division. I want to see Umar Nurmagomedov versus Corey Sandhagen. But and I hope that's the one. Corey Sandhagen does that fight. But, yeah, either way, yeah, I heard Umar is going to fight on that UFC Saudi Arabia card. But my main point is Ngannou versus Anthony Joshua. So props to Ngannou. You know, he's killing it right now. I'll kick it to you. What do you think about the fight, bro?
All right, you know, man, I think it's a good opportunity for Ngannou, man. You know, being that it supposed to have been Joshua versus Wilder, but Wilder ended up losing. So, a good performance by Ngannou led to probably, he fight the second best heavyweight in the world behind Tyson Fury. So, hey, man, actually probably the third best, being that Fury is fighting on the other guy with the other belt. So, but, hey, man, Francis did UFC guys proud, man, because I'm not going to lie. I didn't think he had a chance in hell of beating Tyson Fury. And, bro, he gave Tyson Fury a fight. You know, he knocked him down. He looked good. I just thought he should have let his hands go more. My only gripe, Keys, and I know I had me and you was talking back and forth during the fight, is I wish Mike Tyson just be in his corner, man. Don't just train him. Be in his corner, bro. I'm quite sure if Tyson was in his corner, I think he probably would have been a little bit more aggressive in that fight. But, hey, just imagine if he beat Anthony Joshua. Just imagine if he beat Anthony Joshua and he do it in impressive fashion. Man, whew. Hey, man, I'm glad that Francis is doing what he wanted to do. And, you know, something that the UFC wasn't going to allow him to do. And, you know, he felt strongly in his ability. Bro, hey, hats off to Francis, man. And I'm not the biggest Anthony Joshua fan. But I'm pulling for Ngannou, man. I want Ngannou to shock the world again.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see it as well. And I said back when it happened, I'm pretty sure we talked about it. I mean, we almost definitely talked about it. I still think a lot of people said if you watch back the fight, you wouldn't feel that way. I haven't watched back the fight a second time. I only watched the highlights back. And in the highlights, I thought, wow. I thought from the highlights, like, it was almost even more clear than Ngannou beat Fury. But it is what it is, man. They had to do what they had to do. I think, you know, there was a lot of money out there that night on Fury, and, you know, a lot of people would have lost their houses. You know what I mean? If he was the fight, a lot of guys might have been over for him if, you know, that decision didn't go that way. And, you know, the type of money that's out there on a fight like that. So, you know, people are putting millions on that fight, and, you know, even who knows, the Saudis probably had a lot of money on that fight. And, hey, if you let that go to Ngannou, you know what I mean? I'm not going to come right out and say it, but, hey, I think there might have been a little bit of that going on with that decision. But either way, I think Ngannou, yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, I think that was probably the way to fight Fury. But, you know, like you said, for this one, maybe he needs to get a little bit more on the offensive, you know what I mean, and throw a couple more combinations in there, you know? And maybe be a little bit less tentative. I didn't think he was too tentative versus Fury. I thought he fought a good fight. I thought he won the fight. But you could be onto something with that. Maybe he needs to take it to Anthony Joshua a little bit, especially where Joshua's been looking good. You know, Joshua's coming off back to back KO wins, right? He's coming off two KO wins.
Yeah.
So Joshua's been looking good here lately, so I don't know. I mean, Ngannou, I mean, and I like what you said about Tyson. I would like to see that. I mean, you could clearly tell that him even training with Tyson, I mean, clearly if he was able to go in, I didn't think he would even be. Most people were saying the similar thing as, you know, I won't even make the comparison, but people were saying that, you know, he wouldn't even land punches against Tyson Fury. He landed a lot of punches versus Tyson Fury, and he knocked down Tyson Fury. So, do you think he can knock down Anthony Joshua?
I think if he put together the right kind of punches, he can knock Joshua down. Joshua's a guy that likes to fight at distance. I think in this fight, And Ganu needs to smother him and fight close up. And I think if he can make Joshua fight at close up in a phone booth, I think he probably could land an uppercut or a hook and catch on Joshua. But the thing with Ngannou is, I don't think he's scared to be knocked out, bro. And when you got a guy in the ring that's not scared of being knocked out, man, that makes for a hard night at the office for you. Because, you know, that guy's going to come in, basically he ain't got nothing to lose, really. So, hey, man, I think Ngannou, this is the fight that's really going to let us know whether or not we will ever see him in the octagon again. If he looks good in this fight, especially if he wins this fight, you'll never see him in the octagon again. So, I really want Tyson to be in his corner, bro. I think that makes a world of difference.
Hopefully they went back and looked at it, and they can make that adjustment for this fight. I mean, like you said, he's an 0-1 boxing record. What does he really have to lose? I mean, Anthony Joshua is one of the biggest names in boxing. He has a lot to lose. I mean, even as a guy, Anthony Joshua is trying to work his way back up, too. I mean, he fell from a really high place. When he lost to Andy Ruiz, he fell from a really high place. And he come back, beat him in the rematch. And then he lost to Usyk twice, you know.
Yep.
So, and now he's trying to work his way back again. So, take a fall,
he
came back up.
He didn't look good against Usyk.
What do you think?
In either fight. In those two Usyk fights, he didn't look good in either fight.
Didn't he change his main coach, or like he changed camps or
something
like that?
Yeah, I think he switched camps. I think he switched camps after the first fight, after the first Usyk fight. I'm trying to fact check that right now.
Because I want to say I've been looking at boxing Twitter, and I thought I saw people saying that he made a change in his camp recently.
Yeah, I'm trying to
because I think it was he fought Robert Hellenius, and so before I think it was before that fight they said that. Oh yeah, reveals new trainer. Hold on, this might be it right there. No, March 2022. That was before. Oh yeah, that was way before. So we're talking 2023.
So he changed trainers after the Ruiz fight or the Hellenius fight or something.
Yeah, so I mean the Hellenius fight was August 2023.
Mm-hmm.
This article is March. This is March 2022.
Okay.
Yeah, so he changed camp. I don't know if he changed camp or he changed trainer at fairly recently. I want to say he changed camps twice, but I don't see anything coming up immediately. But
yeah,
because
on ESPN it says Joshua also confirmed he will work with trainer Ben Davidson again after the pair linked up prior to the victory over Wally.
And that just
happened.
And that was one that, when you look at that too, Otto Wallen, I think it was either 2020, was it 2019? He gave Tyson Fury a run for his money. I think it was 2019.
He gave Tyson Fury a run for his money, but he quit against Joshua.
Yeah, so that's. Yeah, you don't know if that's on him or if that's on Fury. You know what I mean? Because you could probably say both. I mean, he doesn't have that many losses, but he's not on the level that these guys are. But at the same time, Fury, I've seen some people speculate that Fury kind of underestimates guys, and I think, you know, you could theorize that it affects his performance, you know. When he has his fights against guys that he deems are not on his level, like Otto Wallen or Francis Ngannou, who's never had a pro boxing match. You could say maybe he kind of, you know, it gets in his head that you know, he doesn't take a guy as serious. But Francis Ngannou had a hell of a performance. So it would, if anything, it would have to be both. You couldn't say it's a bad night for Fury. You would say Ngannou's actually just really good. And he's better than we thought he would be, a lot better. Because clearly, if you go right up to the top of the mountain and fight, you know, arguably the best guy, and you knock him down, you got to be pretty good. You know, he shouldn't have even been able to knock him down. You know what I mean? If Fury is who he is, Ngannou shouldn't have been able to knock him down, you know?
Yeah, I just think Fury just one of them guys that he is skilled, but he is cocky at the same time. And I do think that he took Ngannou lightly. I don't think he'll take Usyk lightly, of course, because Usyk is naturally a boxer. But I don't think Joshua would take Ngannou lightly. So, yeah, man, it should be a good fight. It should be a hell of a fight, man.
Fury Usyk is in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, I want to say that's coming up. Let me see. Let me look at the schedule real quick. What's February? Yeah, it's February 17th.
Yeah, so that's another one that, I mean, February 1st is tomorrow. That's 2 weeks. So I wonder, is that the same weekend as Okanowski? That might be the same night.
I think it's the same day.
Yeah, that's the same day. So you're going to have, yeah, Saturday, February 17th, Okanowski at the Boreas. So we're going to have, hey, man, maybe they'll do that fight a little bit earlier in the day. You know, maybe that fight goes down at like 7.
Yeah, that's a Riyadh, though. So remember, they're 6 hours ahead. So that's going to be in the afternoon for us, the Tyson Fury.
That works out. That's going to be a good day of fights, bro.
Yeah. So fighting is going to be all day long.
You're going to have boxing. You're going to have boxing at breakfast, boxing at lunch, and then late lunch into dinner, you're going to have UFC prelims through the rest of the night.
Yep.
Those are the kind of days I like, bro. And those are great. Those are the days for a fight party, you know. It's like, I mean, you could have a fight party without having a doubleheader like that, but this is crazy. You know, that didn't occur to me that was the same day until you just said it. That's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, bro. I like when they have fights in Riyadh, man, because basically, you know, you still have your evening. I mean, you can sit and watch fights basically all day afternoon, and then you go do something in the evening if you want to. So, but it works out great. We get boxing, then flip over to UFC.
Yeah, I got to get that in the group chat. I got to get that in the group chat. I got to tell my guys about that. I don't think they realize that that's the same day. I didn't know, so they probably don't know. Wow. Let me ask you this. Because I brought it up. Early prediction for Volkanovski versus Topuria, bro. Topuria is undefeated.
Oh, man. This is... Actually, this should be easy to pick, but it ain't because Topuria is skilled. But I look at it like this. Would I pick Holloway to beat Topuria? Of course I would. And Holloway can't beat Volkanovski. So I think Volkanovski wins the fight. I think he's going to be in a battle. I think Topuria poses the same problems as Max, except I think Topuria has a little bit of better ground game. But as we saw against Islam, it's hard to take Volkanovski down. Volkanovski has great takedown defense, and he got great scrambles, and he get back to his feet. So, yeah, man, I got Volkanovski, man. I think Volkanovski wins the fight. I think it goes the distance. You know, I think Volkanovski wins a unanimous decision. He definitely wins rounds 4 and 5. I don't think Topuria has ever been in deep waters like that. So, yeah, my guy on Volkanovski, man. What about you? I said, what about you? Who you got?
Oh, I was going to say, to my knowledge, I don't think Topuria has ever had a 5-round fight. I don't know that he's had a 5-round fight. I mean, he fought Bryce Mitchell. Who'd he fight? I don't even know that he's had a 5-round fight.
I would look it up while you talk.
I might be forgetting. I might be forgetting, but I'm pretty sure he has not. Did he fight Emmett? Nah, he didn't fight Josh Emmett. I don't remember that. And if he was, it wasn't 5 rounds.
Yeah, I'm looking it up now. You go ahead and talk.
I'm just thinking for a second. He fought Bryce Mitchell. That was a 3-round fight. And he beat the brakes off Bryce Mitchell, but that's not – Bryce Mitchell wouldn't – Bryce Mitchell doesn't have the hands for that. You know what I mean? Volkanovski has debatably the best boxer.
He went 5 rounds. He went 5 rounds.
Who did he go 5 rounds?
Josh Emmett.
Okay, so I had the right fight because I said, did he fight Emmett? Okay, but then I started backpedaling. I thought I was wrong. Okay, so he went 5 rounds.
Yeah, but I think in that fight, though, Emmett was just trying to survive. You know, if I remember correctly, I think Emmett got battered and bruised, and I think he got beat up real good in that fight. Yeah, because I'm looking at the scorecards. 50-44, 50-42, and one judge scored at 49-45. So, yeah, he dominated Emmett.
Yeah, so, like you said, I think if Topuria would have fought Max Holloway, like, because it's surprising. Most champions wouldn't have done such a quick turnaround like Volkanovski has. In most cases, you wouldn't see this happen. So, what probably would have happened in any other division, if you had a Max Holloway in another division, you would have had Topuria versus Holloway in the meantime, maybe even for an interim belt or something, until their champ was ready. But since Volkanovski is who he is, which is he's bro is going to be an all-time great. You know what I mean? To say right now that he would not be in the UFC Hall of Fame if he were to retire today is kind of a crazy statement. I don't know how you could – he's not contending for – he's already there. I mean, he's already there. I mean, people forget. It's like Max Holloway is my boy. You know what I mean? That's our boy. He beat him 3 times. You know, people feel like he lost the second fight, but overall, close fight. On paper, he beat him 3 times, you know.
And
the third time was, you know, he third fight was the most decisive of the 3 fights. I mean, I felt the first fight, people said the first fight was close. I didn't feel like the first fight was close. I thought Volkanovski
Max got beat up in that first fight.
Yeah, but that's what I said. So I was surprised when I saw people online saying that it was close and, oh, I had it this and I had it that. I thought Max lost, you know, I thought Max lost either 4 rounds to 1 or 5 rounds to 0 in the first fight. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. I was at a party when I was watching it, so I couldn't really, but I still was watching it. And I thought, okay, either 4-1 or 5-0. You know, and I didn't really, like, take a hard, you know, look and say, like, okay, what were the rounds? But I didn't think Max was really in that fight. I thought he lost that pretty clearly. And then the third fight, you know, Max probably got 5-0 in that fight. You know, I don't even think he debatably got a round. And I think it was in 50-40. I think it was 50-45, maybe like 1-50-46. But to do that to Max Holloway regardless, he's already in the Hall of Fame. Because Max Holloway's already in the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? You know how it is. Max Holloway, if y'all know what you're talking about, Max Holloway gets in the Hall of Fame before Khabib gets in the Hall of Fame. in my opinion.
Exactly.
I think Holloway is above Khabib in the GOAT talk. So, but you know, they go crazy on me for saying that, but it's true. Same way Adesanya is above Khabib in the GOAT talk. You know, they go crazy for me for that too. But that's also true. So, we gotta start rewarding the type of work ethic instead of rewarding guys that just want to sit out all the time. You know what I mean? And maybe fight this guy, and then he maybe fights that. Nah. It's like, yeah, Khabib is an all-time great, but he's not above them. You know what I mean? He's definitely not above them. So, and you know, and Khabib's not going to be above Volkanovski either. That's another thing that's true. He's not going to be above Volkanovski, and Islam's not going to be above Volkanovski. Unless Islam can do, but Islam is, I like the way Islam is moving more than how Khabib was, you know. And they try to blame it on, oh, nobody wanted to fight Khabib. Well, okay, you could say that, but what am I supposed to do with that? I can't sit and speculate over who wanted to fight who and what happened behind the scenes. You know what I mean? I can only base off of did it happen or did it not happen. You know what I mean? So I can only go off what I have. That's the thing with that. But to get back to and for Volkanovski, for the prediction, we saw Volkanovski use his wrestling. I'll tell you this. He's up against two things that worry me in this fight. And these are probably the only two things that worry me in this fight, to be honest. Taporia, I feel like, has more power than Max Holloway. But he definitely doesn't beat Max Holloway in volume. We see how Volkanovski was able to deal with Max Holloway volume. Max Holloway has the most significant strikes landed in UFC history. There's not even a close second to Max Holloway. I'm pretty sure the number two and the number three is Frankie Edgar and Joanna, who are both retired. So your second place and third place behind Max Holloway, they're not going to get any more strikes. See, the next one you're talking is like, you know, probably 1,500 strikes behind them or something in fourth place. You know what I mean? Max Holloway over
3,000. Yeah, that's crazy.
Max Holloway broke, I think it was his last fight, he broke 3,000 significant strikes landed, bro. And when you look at in second place, I think Frankie had like 1,900. So he's the second place the retired fighter was, you know, 1,000 strikes away, like not even close. And Frankie was a beast too, but and Joanna was a beast too. But it's just Max Holloway is that dude, and I wouldn't and like you said, I wouldn't take him over. I wouldn't take Taporia over him, but I would say Taporia has more KO power than Max Holloway. Holloway was more of a volume striker, volume puncher. Volkanovski used his wrestling versus Yair Rodriguez, and he looked good mixing in the wrestling. I think he fought a beautiful fight right there. You know, I feel like you would agree. I think Volkanovski fought a you know nearly perfect fight versus Yair Rodriguez. You mix in the striking with the wrestling, I feel like that's the best style in the game. And I think he'll use that versus Taporia. I don't think he needs to just stand and strike the whole time. Why would he do that? If you have more weapons, use them. You know, especially where he's been.
Yep.
Yeah, he's been starting to lean into that. You see him use it versus, because he knew Yair Rodriguez, there was moments where I saw Yair, where I felt like Yair was getting the better of the striking exchanges. There were definitely moments where I felt like that. But I think Volkanovski knew, okay, let's implement some takedowns in this fight. We'll mix it up on him. And that worked. You know what I mean? He gets a TKO win, and that worked. The two factors that are going against him, I would say, is the fighters age 35 from, I think it's flyweight to welterweight for men's. Fighters age 35 fighting for a title, whether it's the champion or the challenger, 35 and up, I think the record's like 4-35 or something like that. And Colby Covington just added another L to that record when he lost to Leon. I want to say Colby's 35 as well, maybe 36. And Volkanovski's 35. So he's facing that statistic, which is really, you know, not in his favor. And he also got KO'd in October. So that one, the KO in October is probably even worse than that. You know, it's like, because that's something that literally happened. It's like, the statistic is just a statistic. It's not an end-all be-all, but you getting KO'd the way you got KO'd in October is real. It's like, you got KO'd and like, he was out, you know. He at least looked to be out, and I hated seeing that. But then 4-month turnaround, you know, it's like, okay, get KO'd, take a month off and let's go right back into camp. You know, I imagine that's something like what happened. You know, let's take it off, or maybe, you know, he probably didn't even take the holidays. You know, he was probably training. So those are the two factors that I feel like go against him. The KO power, I'm really not that worried about the KO power. But if it is going to come into play, you know, I think it'll be because Volkanovski's chin, you know, it's so recent. You know, he just came off that and then 4 months later going in to fight again. But I still like Volkanovski, though. My early pick, I still like Volkanovski. I think he mixes up the wrestling in the fight and he gets it done. I don't know exactly. I don't have the exact prediction, but, yeah, I think Volkanovski is going to show greatness once again. Someone's always got to go, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Somebody got to lose.
Somebody got to lose. And, hey, we'll touch on that. You know, we'll probably touch on that more next week. But the next thing I wanted to get to is Jake Paul. Jake Paul has the influencer boxing stuff. Has gotten to a lot of people. I mean, it's even foolish to me. I don't really pay that much attention to it. But the thing that I liked about Jake Paul, and I said this to you before, was I liked that I felt like he has separated himself from that. You know, I feel like he's kind of made his own lane, and is you could tell that he's really committed. You know, I think a lot of these guys that are doing it, they're not really committed. You know, you see them just trying to put on shows and make money. Like, these guys aren't really training. I feel like Jake Paul is really training, you know, and I feel like he's really full-time boxer. He's putting in the work. And it, where people feel like, okay, he hasn't fought real guys. He only fought MMA guys. It's true. But now he's starting to work his way to build the resume. And the thing that I like about it is it's something that he said, and it's true. If you go back, a lot of these guys in – you know, their early fights were fighting guys, even some MMA guys, you could point this out. In their early record, this is not everybody, but some, are fighting guys with negative records, guys with no wins, guys with two wins, you know, dudes that were almost like just total gimme fights, you know, just to like fluff the record. Paul mentioned it. He said, I don't know what the exact number was. It may be like his fourth fight or his fifth fight. And he compared himself with, I know this, it sounds crazy because I'm not going to sit here and compare Jake Paul with Terrence Crawford, but he did compare where his fourth fight or whatever fight it was, he was like my, you know, fifth, sixth fight, whatever it was, versus who Terrence Crawford fought in his sixth fight versus who I think maybe Devin Haney fought in his sixth fight and what the record was. And the records of the guys they fought were pretty horrible. You know, I mean, they fought dudes with, you know, I don't know if it was Terrence Crawford and someone else that he compared. But the point of it was that who they fought at that stage in their pro career had much lesser records than the guys he's fighting now. The last guy he just fought, I want to say, had a 10-1 record. And then the guy that he's about to fight, I think, has a 17-2 record. So when you compare it, he's doing things that don't often happen. You know, guys are not jumping into fights against dudes with those records at the stage of their career where Jake Paul is at. You know what I'm saying?
I do like the fact that he's taking it seriously, that, you know, he's actually taking the sport of boxing serious. I do like the fact that he's also fighting in the co-main event, letting Amanda Serrano get her shine at her home island of Puerto Rico. But I don't know who Ryan Borland is, bro. It says his last fight was in September 2022. I guess he on like a 3-fight winning streak. The fight that he had in 2022 was his only fight in the last 6 years. The guy that he beat before that, he really wasn't active either. So, I mean, I guess you can say they boxers, but they not active boxers. But I like what Jake is doing. What he's doing is what you're supposed to do. You hone your craft by beating lesser opponents. That's how you hone your craft. And then once you start, you know, get your little confidence up, then you start taking on more serious competition. The only reason I wouldn't use Terrence Crawford and Devin Haney is because they were amateur fighters. So they fought in the Olympics. So they have to fight in the amateurs. And normally when you fight in the amateurs, you have to, you know, you have to, you know, you finagle your way into being a pro. But, hey, man, and then, man, another thing he said, bro, that, man, it just, all right, what Paul said is, I'm fighting for experience, not for the money, and to show my love for this beautiful island. I'll be donating my entire fight purse for this event to my nonprofit Boxing Bullies to help renovate gyms across Puerto Rico. Man, that's awesome, bro. That's really, really awesome. But, hey, let's see how he looks going against another guy that's basically been on hiatus. But he's taking it serious, man. And anybody that don't see that he's taking it serious, you either don't, you really, really don't like Jake Paul, or you really, really don't know boxing. So, hey, man, we'll see what happens. Hats off to Jake, man, stepping up, you know, fighting boxers. And we'll see what happens, man. He said that he really wants to be a champion. He really wants to be a boxing champion. So I think he's going to have to, either by the end of this year or early next year, he's going to have to fight a name at cruiserweight or at, you know, Canelo's weight class to see what he's really about.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, I'll say this. I'll be tuned into it. I mean, I was just reading about it after you brought it up. The guy hasn't fought in 6 years. That's, I mean, 6 years. No, before his last fight, he hadn't fought in 6 years. But his last fight was
September 2022.
Yeah, but by the time this fight happens, his last fight will have been, he'll have been a year and a half on the couch, you know?
Yeah.
That'll have been a year and a half ago that he last fought, and then before that was 6 years. So, you know, he's almost 7.5 years on the couch, you know? And, you know, inactivity is definitely not good in the fight game, whether it's MMA or boxing or really anything in the fight game. You shouldn't, you know, inactivity is not good because you're going to run into a guy that, you know, he's fresh out, you know, just came off a knockout win, or, you know, he's just been getting the rounds in. I feel like that's not a good thing, you know, to come off the couch and you haven't taken a punch in a while. And this dude just got out of there with somebody, you know, 6 months ago, 3 months, 4 months ago, you know. Yeah, maybe he took some damage, but he's been hit. You know, he's been active. It's like you haven't, you know, you've been off doing whatever you were doing. You know, so, yeah, I definitely think that pretty much a layup for Jake Paul. I feel like, you know, I see the setup spot. I can't wait to bet on it. Last time that he fought, I took him to win, and then I took him to win by first round knockout. And Lee, I hit a 17x. Yeah, I put $10 on the bet. It cashed for $170 because it was plus, I think, $1,600 for Jake Paul to win by first round KO. So we hit that in the fight that he just took. So that was a profitable night for your boy Keys. Well, one of many profitable nights. And yeah, I just think that this is pretty much a layup for him. You know what I mean? I think this is another pretty much cherry picked opponent. And I'm not trying to say that disrespectfully because I rock with Jake Paul. You know what I mean? I used to not be a fan of him, but I definitely switched over and I started to respect it because I could see that he wasn't just trying to put on this, you know, YouTube boxing facade, you know, that is going on. And he actually was locking in and he wanted to be a boxer. And especially seeing the stuff that he's trying to put back into the game and reinvest into the sport and reinvest into the community, like you just mentioned a few minutes ago. You know, you see him doing stuff like that. And reinvest the money back in making donations to good causes, you know. I've listened to him speak in interviews, and he seems like a genuine guy, you know what I mean? Coming from and he's donating to these organizations that, you know, this is coming from a person that, you know, he said he was bullied. You know, he came from being a kid that was bullied a lot in school, you know, growing up. And so now he's trying to donate to these gyms and donate to these charities to help kids, you know, that might be in a similar situation, you know, that are struggling in a similar way. You know, maybe they're getting bullied in school, and maybe they don't know how to defend themselves. You know, and also it's not even just that. Give them something to give them confidence. You know, and give them self esteem, make them feel good about themselves, learn something, give your mind something to grind at, something to work on.
Yeah.
Yep. Something to always, you know, feel like you're etching away at. You know, and that's something that, you know, has. You know, that's something that I need in my life. You know, it's like, not necessarily do I need to go box, but all of us need something for our mind to work on. You know, it's like the brain wants to work, you know, and like when your brain's not working, that's where anxiety comes from. It's like, give me something to do, you know, like your brain doesn't want to just sit there and rot. You know, it's not how we're wired. You know, your brain wants to grind on something, you know. And that's, you know, we sleep and that's where your brain gets your rest. But when you come out of sleep, it's your brain wants something immediately to focus on, you know. And so to give back and to try to give other people, to put other people in that type of situation, give them that type of opportunity is a great thing. And I love to see it, you know. So that's why I'm a fan of Jake Paul. And once I learned more about him and understood him, heard him out, I was like, you know, this is a solid guy. You know, he's a man with good intentions. You know, it didn't seem like that at first, but when I dug deeper into it, I was like, nah, like this is a solid dude, you know, regardless of what, you know, people try to say. So yeah, no, that's where I'll probably leave that at. Anything else you want to add to that before we jump into this next topic?
Nah, man. I think you covered it all. I gotta admit, before we move on, I was never into the celebrity boxing, this influencer boxing thing. You know, I was just like, man, you know, I'm just not into it. But, you know, what we do, we cover combat sports. So, you know, I see it, turn to it, watch it. You know, and I noticed, I was like, damn, the kid getting better. I don't know about his brother getting better, but I know Jake has gotten better. But and I really think if he can keep winning, we'll see what happens down the road.
And one more thing. Slightly different. And maybe next week we'll mostly talk about this because I'm pretty sure we both watched the Royal Rumble.
Sure did.
And you had just, and you reminded me of it because, you know, that was something that I didn't have on my mind to talk about, but I do want to talk about it, and we'll touch on it for a few minutes here, and then, you know, I want to talk about a little bit about UFC 300, but. You mentioned, I don't know how much his brother is getting better at boxing, but what about in wrestling? You know, we just watched him versus Kevin Owens. What'd you think of the match?
Logan Paul was built for WWE, man. He can walk the walk, talk the talk. And, bro, he's a natural for, you know, inside the ring, man. I mean, yeah, you know, he's still a little green. You know, sometimes his opponent has to carry him. But for what they asked him to do, he executes it well. He's the U.S. champ, bro. And him and Kevin had a good-ass match. I didn't understand, you know, the ref talking to the guy outside the ring part. That seemed kind of wonky, but, you know, that was to get you to the ending. But, hey, man, Logan Paul is a hell of a wrestler, dog. And once he takes it a little bit more serious, he'll be even better. And he good now.
Yeah, you know, the order of the matches, if they did the order, it was four matches, your two Royal Rumbles and two matches. I think if they did the order of the matches different, it might have flowed better. I didn't understand what was happening outside the ring either. I almost felt like maybe they didn't even know what was happening. Like, there was some stuff that happened at the Royal Rumble that I almost feel like nobody knew. Like, it was unscripted, like, just randomly happening. Like, when they called, I felt the same way when they called the guy from the commentary booth, and they said he was the next entrant into the Men's Royal Rumble, and he looked
completely,
like, I mean, it seemed like, I don't know what was happening, like, and then R-Truth, when he went into the Rumble, he got, like, tagged in, I don't know what was happening. There was another guy that, like, he got, like, he never entered the ring, I don't know the guy's name, but, like, he got, like, pushed, he was, like, holding the ropes, like, he hadn't entered yet, but he had just walked down the ramp, and then when he was on the side holding the ropes before he entered, he got pushed off the ring. So then my brother was like, damn, that was a quick one. And I was like, nah, bro, I don't think he's eliminated. He never technically entered. So how did he leave the ring if he never entered the ring? You know what I mean? So
yeah.
R-Truth got tagged in, and R-Truth entered the women's Royal Rumble. I was like, R-Truth entered the women's Royal Rumble. I don't know. He looked confused. I don't know what was happening. The ref looked confused. I don't know what was happening. But that definitely made me laugh, bro. R-Truth, R-Truth was doing his thing, man, low-key. Like, that's something that I remembered from the show. And that, you know, seems like a small thing. You know what I mean? But I will say, Logan Paul's match, I've seen better. I feel like I've seen like better clips of Logan Paul than what I saw in that match. I thought Kevin Owens looked really good in that match. That was kind of more. That
Kevin
was more what I would pull from it, at least for that match. That was the first full match I've seen from Logan Paul. I've only really watched his highlights, and I thought he looks incredible. I see him doing backflips off the top rope and all the stuff he does, and he I've seen clips of his matches, but I thought Kevin Owens was looking great in that match, and that's why when he won at the end, but then he lost with the brass knuckles, I was like, damn, because like I was happy to see Kevin win the match after how I felt like he kind of carried the match, you know. But then, you know, it kind of flipped back on him. He got DQ'd, and you know, DQ, you know, the champ wins and the whole thing. But you know, man, I'm gonna say out of the whole Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite part was the Women's Royal Rumble, man. I think that
the
woman killed that. You know, I think it was, to me, it was way better than the Men's Royal Rumble. Way better. Way better. Like, the only part of the Men's Royal Rumble that I was, like, entertained was, I liked when Nakamura entered. When Nakamura got in, I was like, yo, this is the only thing that's interesting me right now. Nakamura was in. I like that guy, Braun Breaker. When he was in, I was liking him. I wish he stayed in longer. I hope to see him win the Royal Rumble at one of these next Braun Breaker. I like that guy. He gives me a lot of, like, Kurt Angle vibes, you know, very similar to what the type of work Kurt Angle used to do, and especially with the straps. He pulls the straps off, you know what I mean? He's very similar to Kurt Angle. It's kind of weird. But
well, you know, his daddy is on Rick Steiner. And his uncle is Scott Steiner. So, you know, that's all Rick Steiner's son. And Scott Steiner's nephew.
Oh, wow, man. I got to tell my brother about that. Okay, so that makes sense because I always loved Scott Steiner, man.
Big Papa Pump?
Yeah, man. I always loved Scott Steiner. I used to love watching him. And I was trying to think, like, why do I like this guy? You know what I mean? Like, I was thinking he reminded me a lot of Kurt Angle. Like, when he pulled the straps off and screaming, like, that's a Kurt Angle move. You know, like, a lot of the stuff he was doing is, like, very much like Kurt Angle, you know?
Yeah, man. I just wonder, you know, what are they going to do with Braun Breaker? What are they going to call him up to either Raw or SmackDown? He's been at NXT for a long time. Normally, guys of his talent, they normally going to be down at NXT this long. But Shawn Michaels did an interview, and he was like, he still got work to do down at NXT. We're not going to rush him up to Raw or SmackDown. You know, we're still working on some things in this game. So, but, yeah, man, that's all Rick Steiner's on, son, dog. the dog face gremlin.
You think they want to see if he can get the belt in NXT first?
Nah, he been champ down in NXT. He was champ for like about 8 to 12 months, maybe about that long. He was champ for a while. So nah, that ain't it at all. It's probably some in-ring stuff.
You know, I only just tapped back in with wrestling a couple months ago, so you're teaching me these things right now. I had no idea.
Yeah, they probably just need to get some in-ring stuff cleared up, cleaned up before they put him on, you know, Raw or SmackDown. So that's probably it. Braun Breaker. Yep, that's Rick Steiner's son.
That's crazy. I gotta tell my brother that. But man, I'll say this: Women's World Rumble was phenomenal, and we're gonna talk about it more next week. The women put on, bro. That was really good.
Yeah, they did.
And I thought it was cool.
What'd you think?
How they brought?
What'd you think of Jade Cargill?
Jade Cargill, I like her too. That was what I was like. Oh my goodness, because. When Nia Jax, because I know her from before. Like, I'm aware of, like, certain names. Like, I know Becky Lynch. Like, I know a lot of these names. I know of Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair has a skin in Fortnite, and I play Fortnite. And I like watching Bianca Belair. I don't know. There's something about her. Like, if she's clearly a star, and I'm attracted to it. You know, I'm attracted to the star power. I can see it. I'm like, all right. You know what I mean? We'll say that it's both. You know what I mean? It's both. You know what I mean? She's Bianca Belair. She's hot, but you could just tell she's a star too. You know, I haven't watched.
She got star written all over her.
Yeah, no, she's awesome. I liked how, you know, they all were still in it at the end. Bayley was in it. Becky Lynch, Naomi, Jade Cargill. Bianca Belair, and I think maybe Nia Jax was the other one. But then Jade Cargill picked her up right over her head, tossed her out. I was like, yo, that was her moment right there. That was her big moment. I was like, okay. I thought Jade Cargill was going to be the winner of the game. But even though she got eliminated, she was one of the last ones, and she eliminated Nia Jax and made it look easy. You know, made it look like light work, picked her up over her head. I was like, yo, this chick is strong, you know?
Yeah,
and
she's sexy.
And you could see it. She's built, you know? She's ripped, like, you could easily see. But, yeah, no, I'm looking forward to watching more from her. She's another interesting character.
She's
going to be big.
In AEW.
Yeah, I remember when I saw that on Twitter, I remember seeing, that was when I saw her for the first time, and this is the first time I've seen her in the ring. But, the women's rumble was phenomenal. I'll talk about it more next week. We'll go in depth on it. But the other thing I wanted to say was that me and my brother flipped out when it was CM Punk and Cody Rhodes last two in the men's Royal Rumble. The thing that I noticed, and I don't know if this was, like, done purposely, but when you had the WrestleMania sign up in the corner, the infamous WrestleMania sign.
Yep.
One thing I noticed was that during their one-on-one, that 10 minutes or whatever it was, there was many moments where CM Punk looked like he was winning, he was getting the better of him. And you kept seeing the WrestleMania sign come into focus. And CM Punk look up at the WrestleMania sign. But what I noticed from Cody Rhodes was that when Cody Rhodes would land a clothesline or whatever he was doing, he never looked at the sign, you know? And I feel like that's something that I picked up on. Cause that's, like, something that I would look at, you know? It's, like, it's all symbolic. And
yeah, that's because CM Punk has never main evented WrestleMania. Whereas Cody Rhodes just main evented WrestleMania last year. So CM Punk, that's one of the things that's on his bucket list. He wants to main event WrestleMania. The only way you can main event WrestleMania, one of the ways of is by winning the Royal Rumble. So that's why he kept looking at the sign. But it's crazy how professional WWE cameramen are, how they are cognizant of, all right, when CM Punk is doing something, make sure that we put that WrestleMania sign within view shot, you know. And, man, that's one of the things they do good, man, with WWE as far as, like, their camera angles and stuff like that. Man, they good at that stuff, bro.
Yeah, I mean, it just for me, I was like, oh, that's almost like kind of like a foreshadowing, you know. And that might be something that just happens live, like you said. Like, they just pick up on him looking at it. And they're like, okay, this is a cool shot, you know. But either way, you know, great work. And me and my brother flipped out, man, when Cody won. When Cody eliminated him, me and my brother flipped out, bro. We flipped out. You know, I had to hit a set of push-ups, bro. We both had to drop down and get a quick 10 off, you know. It was too crazy, you know. That's a guy that, like, you know, knowing Cody Rhodes before he was this Cody Rhodes from way back in the day. So I think to us it has that familiarity about it, you know. And CM Punk, you know, it just – that's I prefer Cody Rhodes over CM Punk. I was never there for the CM Punk era. You know what I mean? I only know CM Punk as going 0-2 in UFC Octagon. You know, that's all I know him as. I never saw him in wrestling. You know what I mean? I wasn't there for that. And no, his attitude when he came in was just, I didn't like the way that he, you know, his cockiness. I just don't like it. And I feel like Cody Rhodes is just more determined. But you don't have to see him with that entitled attitude, you know? So I'm looking forward to it, bro. I can't wait to see it. Roman Reigns wins the match, which was BS. Okay, the bloodline saved them again. Randy Orton had the match locked up right there. Randy Orton would have won that match. The bloodline saved them. And Roman Reigns, you know what happens, bro. You know what happens next, man. You know what happens next. You know, everything comes to an end eventually.
Yeah, it's interesting on how they're going to do it, how they're going to get the belt off him, and who they're going to put it on. You know, a lot of fans want them to put it on Randy Orton, but we just have to see what they do, because the fans really are tired of Roman Reigns. People are tired of him being champ. So basically it comes down to WWE, are you going to listen to the fans, or are you going to stay with this thing that you want him to beat Hulk Hogan's record, you know? And because what they want to do, man, they want to get all them old WWE, those old WWF records, they want to get them things out of the record books, man. They want this new generation of wrestlers in the record books. So, but I can't wait to see how it plays out between Randy and Roman, man. Can't wait to see how it plays out.
You talking about Cody?
No, I think Cody gonna end up wrestling Seth. I think he gonna end up wrestling Seth at WrestleMania, man. I don't think he's gonna wrestle Roman Reigns.
You think they could do Roman versus Randy Orton?
Yeah, I think they're going to do Roman versus Randy.
Man, I wouldn't be mad at that, man. And being where I like, you know, activity, and I like to see, you know, guys defending belts in the UFC. I mean, I respect Seth Rollins as a champion more than Roman Reigns, because Seth Rollins has more. I'm pretty sure Seth Rollins defended his title more times. They said more times in 2023 than Roman Reigns has in his entire reign.
I don't know about his entire reign, but probably over the last 2 years, probably, because, you know, I want to say Roman this year has only defended against LA Knight. LA Knight, I think. And his cousin, Jey Uso. So I want to say he only defended it twice so far. But that's because WWE, man, that's because of what they're trying to do. They're trying to get this record, get Hulk Hogan's name out of this record book. But the fans ain't buying it, man. So we shall see, man. WrestleMania is going to be interesting. WrestleMania is going to be interesting because he has to hold the belt at least to SummerSlam, to beat Hogan's record. Now, do he lose the belt at SummerSlam, or does he lose the belt the pay-per-view after SummerSlam? So, you know, man, it's a lot of stuff going on. So it all play out, though.
Yeah, I mean, I try not to look too far ahead of it. I figure, you know, we'll save the other one for the next time. It's perfect. We hit tons of topics here. This was, like, really quality show. I'm really happy with it. Thank you for anybody who listens. Add us on Twitter. Let us know your thoughts on anything we covered. And that's pretty much all we got. That's pretty much all I got. Lee, the floor is yours. Everybody, stay positive. Stay in routine. Get some sunlight. Drink. Make sure you're hydrated. And just be well, man.
Yeah. We'll be back next week. We'll chat about this on Twitter. So y'all follow us on Twitter to set us up, because this card that's coming up on Saturday is actually it's kind of loaded to be a fight night card. So I'll probably get with Keys, probably talk back and forth on that on Twitter, man. But everybody have a good evening. Take care of you. Take care of yourself. Take care of others. That being said, we always end the show with a peace.